I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. Earlier this week, I came across a very peculiar news story. And the news story was this. The bishops of the United Kingdom ordered their priests not to put themselves at risk. Their exact words were, "You are not to sacrifice yourselves." And the very peculiar thing about the document they sent their priests was, it gave this long little preamble about how the saints of old would sacrifice themselves, their physical selves for the people. St. Catherine sucked wounds of the cancer afflicted. And St. Damien of Malachi acquired leprosy from the people he was serving. And more recently, Mother Teresa's sisters will treat and go around the lepers. And this has been the long-standing tradition of Holy Mother Church, that her priests, her religious, and her bishops lay down their lives for their sheep. And I thought it's interesting because the UK bishops run with a different liturgical calendar, so maybe their readings are different, but do they not see the sort of the craziness of putting out such a document when we have this reading today? The hireling that is not the shepherd, who own the sheep, are not. Seeing the wolf coming and leaving the sheep and flieth. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, but the hireling does not. It's a very interesting time, you see. I think at heart, it's not about being liberal or conservative or old-fashioned Catholic or new Catholic, or we have a real, real chapter change in the history of Christianity. You're living through it. I remember in the seminary 30 years ago, I was in the seminary, and we would study church history, and there would be certain aspects of church history, and I would learn, I love the saints. I love stories about the saints. See, the neat thing is there's a saint for everybody, right? There are saints that are married. There are saints that are single. There are saints that were soldiers. There are saints that were homemakers, saints that were mothers. Every kind of walk of life you could possibly imagine, we have a saint for. Saints that were martyrs, saints that suffered like Padre Pio, saints that died quietly in their bed without much worldly suffering at all. All these different permutations and combinations that God has given us, holy example through the lives of the saints. And you know, the one thing that they had all in common is they put God first, and any other consideration, including family, including country, including all these good things, they put those secondarily. They also trusted and believed in a different faith than most Christians believe today. You may be wondering, what on earth is Father going on about? Have you ever heard the story of the lobster in the pot? If you throw a lobster in a boiling pot of water, it'll freak out, as you would if you were thrown into a boiling pot of water. But if you have the water cool, and you put the lobster in the cool pot, and you turn the heat up slowly, guess what? The lobster, being a cold-blooded animal, will be dead before it even realizes it's cooked. And that's what's happened to us, brothers and sisters. The saints believed in a supernatural faith. They believed in a faith where you could lay hands on the dead and command in the name of our Lord Jesus, arise. And it wasn't just a coma. It's a real bodily resurrection like Lazarus. They believed that cancer could be cured by prayer. They believed in signs and wonders. They believed some receive the Blessed Sacrament and are given a little consolation by God where the taste in the mouth is of the blood of our Lord. And people for centuries have had these little miracles, these coincidences in life. Perhaps your angel helped you survive a drive on Highway 19 this very morning. Miracles are a lot more common than the world would have you believe. And talking to God and listening to Him is not just for the saints on the calendar, but every baptized soul has access to our Lord Jesus. Every baptized soul. So make use of this beautiful gift that God has given you the gift of your baptism, the gift of the Holy Eucharist, the gift of the Holy Sacrament of Confession. Make use of these things. Because by making use of these things, you will be able to hear the shepherd's voice, and you will hear him calling you to believe in a supernatural faith once again. That we do not fear the terrors of the night or the arrow that flies by day or a crazy illness. We take precaution, sure, but we never allow the concerns of the world to separate us from the love of Christ. We never allow the concerns and fears of the world to separate us from the Blessed Sacrament. We cannot. The first and third commandments oblige us to put God first and his Sabbath day kept holy. So praise God for the gift of faith. Don't get all puffy on yourself. Oh, look, I'm a better Catholic than these other people that aren't going. Because we're all judged on the basis of what we do with what we've been given. So we have no reason to boast. You have nothing to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That you can boast in. You can boast in that. You can boast in the precious blood that longs to save the entire world, and yet the world has grown cold and indifferent. You know, in some cases, I worry far less about the prostitute or the drug addict that's going to hit rock bottom than I do about many people in our friends and families their hearts have grown cold. At least the person who's on a track to fall flat in their face or who's had a life of sin, they're grateful for this. They're grateful. And they cast themselves at the foot of the cross. They cast themselves at the foot of the Good Shepherd and say, Lord Jesus, lead me, because I've been a turkey in my life. But those days are behind me. I look to you. I look in your beautiful face. I believe, Lord Jesus. I believe that you're present in the Holy Sacrament of the altar. I believe that I will not die one second before my time. And when I do, may it be in a manner pleasing to you for your greater glory. May I die well. That's what you want to say to the Good Shepherd. That's what you want to say. On your last day, you'll face him, his beautiful face, in the splendor of heaven and the angels and the music. And music doesn't even do it justice. The sound will be beyond comprehension. It'll be strange and wonderful and amazing. And you're going to understand how small and yet how great you are in that instant. You're going to see all of the heavens open before you. And you're going to face the just judge. And you're not going to be able to say a word. It's going to be just too overwhelming. And you know what you're going to find? You're going to find some of the things that you've been up to in this life, this earthly sojourn, that you thought maybe God didn't care about, were more important than you thought. And you're going to think things that weren't important, the certain kindnesses that you do, certain prayers you said for people, people that don't like you prayed for, this kind of thing, you'll find that built treasure in heaven. You'll find God very proud of you for these things, where you listen to him, where you brave this virus to come here and give him honor and worship. This is treasure in heaven. And no one can take it from you. No thief, no government. No one can take it from you, your treasure. And you're going to see all of this amazing expanse of heaven. It's just going to be mind-blowing. And you're going to look into that beautiful face and you're going to know him right away. You're not going to be able to say a word. There's going to be a combination of fear and hope. And through his grace, hopefully you hear those words we all long to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the house of my Father. And that's the faith we strive for. And this is real. This isn't a fairy tale. You see, the problem is the enemy always takes a little bit of good and contorts it just a little bit and then corrupts it, you see. It still appears good on the surface, but it's not good anymore. And the example, one of the examples is how we look at the afterlife, how we look at heaven, how we look at penance and mortification and all these things we're supposed to be doing on earth. And you see, the people get complacent. They go out in a funeral and they dress in white for a funeral. What, are you mad? Are you mad? You know, there's two types of sins on either extreme of a spectrum that get you into trouble about the last day. You know what it is? Despair on one hand. That you believe, oh Lord, I was such a bad person, I don't think you can forgive me. I worry that I'm not worthy of heaven. Well, you're right, you're not worthy, but his blood makes you worthy, you see? So on one extreme is the temptation to despair. On the other extreme is what this world deals with now. That's called the sin of presumption. It's a mortal sin, the sin of presumption. Imagine that. What's presumption? Presumption is saying, oh, well, you know, I didn't do anything that bad. I didn't kill anybody. I don't steal stuff. I guess I'm going to heaven. If there is a heaven, I'm going. Really? You're your own judge? I tell you most solemnly, all of us are going to be facing that judge with the same, hopefully, love. A mixture of love, fear, and awe. See, there's no hiding from God. He knows our heart. He knows what we're really up to. He knows if we strayed a little bit from the narrow path, whether it was for love of him or love of self. And he knows we're going to make mistakes. He doesn't cast you away from mistakes, don't you see? Think of Peter. Our Lord tells Peter, you're going to deny me. No, I'm not, Lord. I'll die with you before I deny you. And yet, our Lord knew he was going to betray him, but he also knew he was going to come back, you see? Isn't that you and me? Don't we deny him all the time, actually? And some of you are going to say, well, wait a second, Father, I don't break any of the Ten Commandments. I didn't do anything that serious. What do you mean? You deny him whenever you put yourself in front of him. And we do this all the time. We do this when we should be spending time in prayer, but we choose to watch Netflix. Or we do this when we should be helping our neighbor, but decide we can't be bothered. In these ways, we deny him. We deny his will. And our job together is to prepare ourselves in our routines, in our habits, to prepare ourselves a fertile ground where the word of God may take seed and bear fruit. If we spend time with the Holy Rosary, if we spend time reading Scripture piously, if we spend time going to Amazon, look at the Kindle list, and find yourself a couple saints, and download their writings, and download their biographies, and meditate on them, and learn from them. Learn at their feet as well. Because we don't have enough time in a lifetime to do it all ourselves. And if you need suggestions, I'll give you some. But the thing is, we want to prepare our hearts and minds and our very lives to be this fertile ground, to receive the word of God and have it bear fruit and bear fruit abundantly for the greatness of the kingdom. We believe in a supernatural faith. And because we believe in a supernatural faith, we believe our baptism was for a great purpose. And brothers and sisters, you were chosen by God himself to live in this time. In this time, not in 1930 when everybody was a believer, but in 2020 when the world has grown cold and indifferent to the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a week of First Friday and First Saturday, and those who are able to attend, I know 9 o'clock is not convenient for many of you, but I encourage you to attend or do the First Friday or First Saturday devotion at least once in your lifetime. And if there's enough demand to have it done in evenings, and maybe we'll start doing it in evenings at some point. But the thing is, it's important because this is one of these things our Lord has given us, these devotions, that can take away anxiety about how our end may come. The whole process of this, you see, the whole story I'm trying to share to you today is if you want to be able to hear the shepherd's voice, you must do your part. And the good news is God's given you all the tools to do it. So we really have no excuse. He's given you the gift of holy faith. And you said yes because you're here today. So you have that. But like I say, don't pat yourself on the back. Boast in that. Boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Boast in his glory. This is a great time to be alive. It may not seem it sometimes. The world might seem crazy. Anybody here older than, say, the age of 40 or 50 remembers a time when the world was a little less crazy? Well, this is our time to shine, not of our own light, but as mirrors of his light, to be faithful little lambs to the Good Shepherd, to follow him. And in this earthly sojourn, where does he lead us? Before we see that great expanse of heaven that I told you about, we must remember that no servant is greater than their master. And that means, if you want to see that day, and have that day a day of hope and of love, and of amazement, of finding your true purpose for eternity, what you were meant to do, this place is just visiting. Some of you here are going to be greater than the greatest emperors of the earth because you took your vocation seriously. And you may say, that's silly, I have no earthly importance, it doesn't matter. God judges us on what we do with what we've been given. So take what you've been given and take it seriously and treat this gift with the reverence and amazement that it's due. And if you lack faith in miracles and belief in miracles, then pray for an increase of faith, and he will grant it to you. I promise you that anyone who seeks him sincerely will not be disappointed. Not a single one of you. If we live this path faithfully, the Good Shepherd leads us on the way of the cross, that suffering will pierce every one of our hearts, just as it pierced our Blessed Mother's heart. Do you not realize God loved our Blessed Mother so much beyond our comprehension? And if he would allow her to bear the suffering, don't you think he's going to send suffering to each of us? Of course he is. It's what we do with that suffering that's important. Easter is a story of triumph. Triumph that our suffering is not in vain, that it has purpose and meaning. The blood of the cross shed by the perfect Lamb, by the true Shepherd, will save everyone who wants to be saved. But our Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, cannot save anyone against their will. We must be very careful in these times. I mentioned you have to avoid the temptation of despair and of presumption. There's one other thing we have to watch. Be very careful of presuming the judgment upon others who have slightly different spiritual paths. There are different organs in the body. And our shepherd told us, other sheep I have are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there should be one fold and one shepherd. When we reach the kingdom of heaven, there'll be the church triumphant, and it'll all be one church. There are different organs in the body, but all of our Lord's elect are of one body even now. And you share that body with all the saints and all the souls in purgatory right now that we want to pray for. We want to pray for because it's an act of mercy, but we also want to pray for them because it adds friends of ours in heaven. And our friends in heaven, when they get there, are far more powerful and helpful to us than our closest friend on earth. Make friends with the saints. Get their help so that they can help you recognize the Good Shepherd's voice. In a time of confusion, a time of conflicting messages, remain true to the holy faith given to you by our Lord, to the apostles, and to our Blessed Mother, and carry forth. Do not let them take away the Holy Mass. Do not let them take away the sacraments. Do not let them take away the unedited Scripture of God. Do not trust additions and edits and foolishness made by prideful men, but rather faithfully trust the message and the path given to you by Holy Mother Church for 2,000 years. We didn't get a celestial fax, we didn't get a red hot line or an email telling us to change everything. Some change is good, but it's only good if it leads you to Him. If it leads you to focus on man and not on God, you know it's not good. And that's your litmus test. And you know what I speak is the truth because it's in the Scripture. Galatians 1:8. You shall not receive any other new gospel other than the one that has been given unto you. Brothers and sisters, we implore our good shepherd to grant us the grace and the wisdom to hear his voice and to bear his light into a world that no longer believes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.